On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, whatever.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. Welcome to the program. I have an interesting show for you today, so just sit there and be quiet. Now, this show is going to be a little bit different than it is usually. Usually, I sit here and make social comments and, you know, a little bit of humor injected, a little bit not on purpose, and, you know, everything happens here. But today, every once in a while, we speak to this particular guest, and his name is Dick Larson. He's with an organization called Share International. No, they don't idolize Sonny and Cher. No, this is different. It's S-H-A-R-E, share-international.org. What they do is, and this is, some people think it's a religious kind of aspect, but it's kind of not. This is a group of people that believe that there are higher beings that exist among us, and they have the ability and capability to make themselves known to the rest of civilization, and they will save mankind, so to speak. That's a broad explanation that they probably would not agree with, or could, I don't know. I put it in the category of hope. This is an organization that has hope that somehow mankind will get along, thrive, and have a dawning of camaraderie, and that life will be fulfilling. It's not in a religious aspect at all, so let's not go there. Most people will say, come on, that's kind of silly. People are people, and things are all messed up right now, and there is no hope. Well, this organization says that there is hope, and that hope is actually in place, and probably very soon will actually take hold. It seems like a tall drink, but this is what they talk about. And Dick Larson is a spokesperson for this organization, one of them. And listen to it. You may agree, you may disagree, but it's worth listening to, and that's why we present them every once in a while. Your opinion is your opinion. Your life is your life. But it's good to listen to other people's viewpoints and see where they're at. The good news is that where they are at is in a building, constructive sense, where a lot of other people are at, are trying to divide us, knock us down, and destroy humanity, basically, as we are experiencing it now. There are a lot of good people on this planet, and the idea is to empower the good people to have the good earth, the good globe, the good future, the good existence. So, that's what we're getting into. Ron, This is a heavy thing that you think you're talking about. Yeah, just listen. And we'll hit you at the end of our conversation. Let's go right now to our guest. Dick Larson joins us now. He is he's quite prolific as far as the things that we talk about, but we don't talk about, but we're going to talk about them now. And that's to make your life a bit more knowledgeable. Whether you happen to go in this direction or not, it's a good thing to know and to understand. Thanks for being with us today, Dick.
You're welcome, Ron. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. And later
it
on,
we'll
tell you about his organization and how you can hook up with them toward the end of our discussion today. Dick, we hear in conversations with you about the Masters of Wisdom, which sounds like a promising kind of thing. It's a good thing. Tell me what this concept, Masters of Wisdom, would be.
That's a great question to start the show, Ron. I'm hoping to give your listeners a little information that they haven't heard before today, specifically about when the masters come forward in the world. But to get to your question, and again, I always ask your listeners, please don't believe me. I'm not here to convince you that what I say is true. I'm just here to give out what I think is some pretty valuable information about the future, especially, and take it for what it's worth. The Masters of Wisdom are the senior members of our spiritual kingdom, Ron, our kingdom of heaven, our kingdom of souls, whatever you want to call it. These are people who were human beings like you and I, who have already gone through the evolution of being a human on planet Earth. They've gone through thousands of lifetimes like we are. And the soul, you know, keeps taking a new body in a new country and it may be a new race, you know, whatever, for thousands of lifetimes until we finally learn all the lessons planet Earth has to teach us. That's where we're all going. Eventually, uh-huh. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. Well, once they become perfected men and women. These are what we would call perfect people. Well, once you reach that point, you don't need to come back to Earth in a body anymore because there's no more for you to learn here. So then they become permanent, and we will become like permanent spirits, permanent consciousness. And then we have 6-7 paths we can take after that, and one of those is the path of Earth service. And so we have these great, great beings that are the senior members of our spiritual kingdom. We know them as people like Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, Confucius, Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. Joan of Arc is one of the great masters now. Saint Germain. They're called masters, Ron, if you'll recall, not because they're masters over us, but because they've become masters over themselves. And so they're called masters of the wisdom, the ageless wisdom. And so they have been the inspiration for humanity and the guides for humanity behind the scenes. They've inspired the great, great people that have created great advances for humanity over the eons, over the thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And so these perfected men and women, they continue to evolve. And so now part of their evolution is to come back in physical bodies, to walk on the planet amongst us, and teach us. Now, they're never going to force us to do anything, as you know, Ron, because our free will is sacred. But they're coming back to teach us and make suggestions about how we can turn life on this planet around. And they'll be a master in every aspect of life, education, finance, healthcare, you name it. There'll be a master in that area and in each of the major religions, by the way. Although they don't come to start a religion, they will guide us. And so that's who the Masters of Wisdom are. And one of their most senior members is going to be the first to return, and his personal name is Maitreya. That's Sanskrit for the one who brings joy, the happy one. He will be the first to appear to all of humanity on radio and television worldwide soon.
Now, I've been talking to you and to Benjamin Krem before you, who is also...
Yes.
a knowledgeable person. Let me help clarify for my listeners, this is not a religious connotation or thing. It has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with spiritualism, but not even that. It has to do with a level of humanity that keeps us rising as opposed to falling. And that's what we're talking about. Every time I talk to you, Dick, and it's been probably about 6-7 times so far, I always remember myself saying, okay, like things are worse than they were before that I talked to you. They seem to be going on a decline. People are less spiritual, less respectful, less moral, less accepting. So it seems like this is going to be a tougher deal because you mentioned that these masters will not force their will upon. They have to be accepted, and that level of acceptance seems like it's going to be dropping here. So how what do we do here? I mean, we're going in the wrong direction, and yet we've, to our knowledge, we've had no master step forward.
No, we haven't. There are 14 masters in physical bodies. They can take a physical body on the planet now. One of them is Maitreya.
Right.
Maitreya lives on the outskirts of London, and there are 13 other masters. One is in New York. One is out here in the West Coast in the San Bernardino Mountains in California, Southern California. And they're in major cities of the world, London and Rome and Geneva and Darjeeling and and Tokyo and so on. But they haven't come forward yet because Maitreya will be the first one to come forward. Now, we are moving into a new cosmic age, a new cosmic era on this planet. And I'm talking about astronomy, not astrology.
Right.
Our planet has been in alignment with the great constellation Pisces for the last 2,200 years or so. And that's when the last great teacher came, is at the beginning of the age of Pisces. Actually, we got two teachers. We got the Buddha, who taught the wisdom of God, and Jesus, who taught the love of God. And now we're moving out. We actually, if you talk to an astronomer, they'll tell you, they call it the precession of the equinox. We call it a new age. In 1625, our solar system started moving out of alignment with Pisces, and in 1675, we started moving into alignment with Aquarius. Well, that's completely different energies bombarding our planet than Pisces, and right now we're about halfway through the transition, so everything we have was built with Piscean energy. The educational system, the healthcare system, the government, all these great institutions of humanity have been built with Piscean energy, primarily the energy of individuality and dedication to an ideal. We all are dedicated to our own ideals. This has caused a lot of separation, Ron. Yeah. And so now we're moving into Aquarius, which is the energy of group, of cooperation. So we're moving from a time of competition to a time of cooperation. These individuals that have been developed under Pisces are going to work together. Well, whenever you're about halfway through, the energies are crossing the planet, and this happens with every new age, there's chaos on the planet.
Yeah.
And part of that chaos right now is that the energy is stimulating people to be more who they are. So if you are kind and generous and know that you're a living soul and you're spiritual in some respects, or religious in some respects, that's going to be accentuated now. If you are not, if you're selfish, self-centered, mean-spirited, or whatever, that's going to be accentuated. If you're conservative, that's going to be accentuated. If you're liberal or progressive, that's going to be accentuated. So every posture that people can take and the way they present themselves in the world with their personality is now being exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're seeing this tremendous separation. You know, there's a famous saying that that saves me from worrying about this too much every day, and that is, this too shall pass. Well, this too shall pass, but it's a transition time, and there's a purpose for that tremendous separation that we're seeing now and the tremendous disagreements that we're seeing. And the purpose of that is to make our choices clear. When everybody's down the middle, it's hard to know what your choices are. But when there's way over here and way over on the other side, it becomes real clear what the choices are. And then we each choose. It's a very personal thing. We each choose how we want to continue our life on the planet and how we want to present ourselves to each other and what we want to stand for and so on. And so you can imagine that things are changing, including our institutions. They have to be transformed now because they were Piscean energy is being withdrawn. So these institutions are collapsing. We need to rebuild them with the Aquarian energy of cooperation and synthesis. And those are the energies of Aquarius. And then they will serve humanity again for the next 2,000 years like they have in the past.
Wow.
But in the meantime, there's going to be a lot of disagreement way to go.
That's the assumption.
And because the choices are real clear now, and they're quite separate from each other. And so it gives us an opportunity to exercise our free will, which is sacred, which is why the masters will never force us to do anything.
Yeah, but Dick, don't you come to a point where you're not going to have a planet to have assessments on? I mean, that's being that's a bit more aggressive as well. I mean,
that's a legitimate statement, Ron, because we now have the capability to blow up this world and end it.
Yes.
And we, you know, if we have a nuclear war, it will end all life on this planet.
Correct.
From plant life to animal life to human life.
Right.
And this whole planet will be desolate, and this planet will have to start its evolution, millions of years of evolution, all over again.
Right.
And the souls that are on this planet will probably have to go to a different planet to continue their evolution.
That's
it's a devastating, devastating thought. Now, here's the thing about that. We are humanity. The masters tell us through Benjamin Krem, the man you mentioned, who traveled the world for 40 years trying to prepare people for the return of the masters. And I knew Benjamin Krem very well for about 25 years. He's no longer with us, but I worked with him closely, and we're still trying to get the information out. And that is I forgot what I was going to say.
What was Benjamin going to say? Tell us.
Well, he just said that we will have to choose which way we want to go, and that. Heart of humanity wants change.
Yes.
The hearts of humanity, we may not even be aware of it, but a lot of us are aware of it, especially the younger people now, Ron. They see the need for change. They can't wait for change.
Younger people always do.
Well, yeah, and especially this generation. See, the way it works, according to the Ageless Wisdom teachings, which Benjamin Krem and Alice Bailey taught, according to the Ageless Wisdom, every generation that comes in is a generation that will serve the needs of that time. You know, my parents, I'm no longer young, my parents were here to save the world in World War II.
Right.
That was their job.
Right.
And that generation did it. Women went to work in factories. I mean, they wanted the world to have freedom, and they succeeded. Well, that was their job. Their time has gone. Now we're here to turn the world around and start creating. The purpose is to start creating heaven on earth, literally.
Yeah, that's what the kids of the 60s did, which I was somewhat a part of. And most of those...
You and me both.
Yeah, and most of those people turned out to be not what they were in the 60s.
Right.
So it seems like the younger...
They were younger.
Correct. But when the younger generation seems to age, they seem to go, the knowledge seems to go in the wrong direction.
But I
guess the real question is, when do the masters actually indeed step forward? When Treyer actually do that? How bad does it have to get? That kind of thing. Because in order for it to happen, we have to become more divided, as you say, in order to recognize what's really inside of us. But that also makes it less possible to accept anything.
Okay, well, here's what the masters have said, mm-hmm. especially Maitreya, who spoke through Benjamin Krem. He was in telepathic contact with Benjamin Krem, which is way different than channeling. Mm-hmm. Channeling is a relatively inaccurate way of communicating with the spiritual world, and telepathy is correct to the comma, you know. And so it's quite different. What's going to happen is Maitreya is going to come forward. You said when. Nobody knows the day or time.
Right.
You know, it could be the day of Pentecost. It could be Easter. It could be 2024, 2025, 2026.
All right, now we're getting a little
bit far. I doubt it'll be as late as 2027. I don't think so.
All right.
I'm thinking 2025. But he will come forward on television and radio to the world. But here's the thing. Not only will we be able to see him and hear him on television and radio, but we will hear his words telepathically. It'll be the very first time in the entire history of the world, Ron, that all of humanity, all 7 billion of us, will hear his words telepathically in our head, in our native language. And that he says, this will be my day of declaration. This will be when I step forward and declare to the world who I am, why I'm here, and why we human beings are here. And he said that you will hear my words in your head in your native language. Now, he will speak for, we don't know. We don't know the exact day. We don't know how long. Benjamin Krem was guessing 35 minutes, something like that. And he didn't know for sure either. But he will speak to us, and we can't possibly grasp the enormous impact, the uniqueness of this event until it happens. Because, like I said, it'll be the first time in the history of the world that there'll be a worldwide telepathic experience.
Mm-hmm.
He will probably call himself a teacher, the teacher for humanity. He may call himself the water carrier, which is the symbol for Aquarius. He's the teacher for the age of Aquarius, and he's in a body that can't be killed or destroyed. He can shake your hand, but and so on. He'll be physical. He'll be in a male body, my understanding about 6'3", dark hair, and he will be living with us for the next 2,000 years making suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
He will be at the center of humanity. He will travel the world speaking after the day of declaration. But on that day, Ron, the world will literally shut down and stand still for those 35 minutes or whatever that he addresses us. Everyone will hear him. Everyone's attention will be focused on him, listening, and we will experience all 7 billion of us, if we're over the age of 14.
Yeah, the way that I see it is, and I'm not being difficult here, but that the world, the humans in the world will be so desperate that they will accept. In other words, the acceptance only comes in total desperation. That's probably what we're saying here.
No, that's not my information,
all
Ron.
Right,
sorry to
right.
disagree.
All right.
Because we don't know how powerful the energy of love of the world teacher is, that we will recognize that we are souls.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had that experience. We'll know the joy of real living for those 35 minutes. We'll realize that we're divine. Now, here's what he's going to do to motivate us. First, is my understanding, and again, don't have to believe me, but he's going to give each of us a glimpse. Now, he did this with Benjamin Krem, and when Benjamin Krem described it, he said it was the most incredible experience he'd ever had. Mm-hmm. He said he will give us an experience of the past and show us where humanity has gone wrong. We'll see things happening in the past, literally see them in our
right
mind's
now.
Eye.
Yeah,
we'll hear it's the obvious. Sounds. We'll smell the smells. Uh-huh. He did this with Benjamin, and he said it was like all of history was happening in front of him.
Yeah.
He could see it all, like he was in this big globe or ball where he could see it all, this bubble. And he will show us where we've lost our way. Then, to inspire us, he will give us a glimpse the same way, as if we're actually there, of the brilliant, wonderful, safe, loving, peaceful, glorious future that we have in store for us if we make the wise choices. And he will give us that vision of the future to inspire us. Now, what I understand will happen is only about a third of us, Ron, will go, how right, I can't wait, let's get started, where do I start? About a third of the people will respond that way, I'm told. About a third of the people that have this experience will say, I'm going to wait and see, I'm not sure if this is a good guy or a bad guy. And about a third of the people are going to say, nope, this is all a joke, it's a trick. He's the Antichrist or whatever. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to listen to his suggestions. I want to keep life going the way it is.
Uh-huh.
Now, the ones that think that way will be the most conservatives, according to Krem, the real conservatives in every aspect of life, religion, government, health care, you name it. So it'll be about a third. But what he said is, that third that is ready to listen to his suggestions and try them out, that third is more than the critical mass needed to start turning life around on this planet.
In the Electoral College.
So we're going to do it because we're inspired and because we realize we're divine. We're living souls.
Right.
And we're going to actually experience that. It's not like some teacher's going to come and tell us that. We're going to live it. For those 35 minutes, he said afterwards, people will be walking on tiptoe because they don't want to disturb the beautiful, peaceful, loving atmosphere on the planet at the moment.
Right.
I guess it'll be quite an experience. We're really kind of fortunate to be here right now to have this experience.
Yeah, I mean, there have been people in the past, I can't remember his name, it was a love doctor about 20 years ago, he used to be on PBS. And he would just spout love and connection between people, and he was so effective. People would sit there with their mouths open. I thought he was like one of those master type of people who you could not escape his aura of love. You wanted to go hug everybody immediately within, as you say, 35 minutes. There are people like that.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be that times 100.
Yeah, I probably will. It probably will.
Yeah.
And again, from my point of view, as soon as people crave peace, they crave it.
Yeah.
But they don't get along with other people, so they can't have it. So if someone preaches peace and gives examples, as you just say, that would be powerful, but no one's done that. No one's doing it. I don't know why.
Right.
I don't know why not. Dick, we're running out of time.
Okay.
We could talk like for hours, unfortunately, but I don't have.
Can I talk about the piece?
Yeah, do that quickly. Yes.
Okay. He's going to suggest sharing. He said it's the only thing we haven't tried. Countries need, there'll be a inventory taken of every country's production and every nation's needs. And the nations that have an excess above their need of production will be encouraged to share that with nations who need it and get back from other nations what they need. He said sharing is the only thing we haven't tried, and when you share, you create justice. He said that's how you get rid of terrorism and war. Everybody has their needs met, and sharing creates trust, justice, and when you have justice, it creates trust, and when you have trust, it creates peace. He said it's the only thing we haven't tried, and he's going to suggest that we do that and give us an outline of how to get started.
Interesting. Okay, sir. How can people get this entire picture? I know there's a place to go.
There is. There's a website. Share-international, all spelled out, .org. SHARE-international.org. Beautiful website. It's got some audio of Benjamin Krem. There's four books by Benjamin Krem you can download free of charge. It's got pictures of miracles that the masters have created to give us hope. And that's my purpose. My purpose is, number one, to help people be prepared so when this happens, they'll know what's going on. And number two, to have some hope. I mean, things, it looks terrible right now. We need hope, and there is hope. It's a great time to be alive, I think.
It can be, and hopefully it soon will be. Hope is at the basis of what everybody has, and if there is a power that can bring the hope out and actually make it happen, then you got yourself some answers.
And hey, we're part of that power.
Yeah. Share-international. You'll find it on the website.
.org.
Well, they'll find it anyway, my friend, I'm sure.
Okay, Ron.
Dick Larson.
Ronnie, you're just such a pleasure to talk to. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you're welcome, and we'll do this again, certainly. All right, there you have it. Listen to opinions. Listen to things. It's interesting. But you go your way, and maybe someday we'll all meet on the same path, hopefully. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that's it for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with what I consider to be a regular kind of program. By the way, on Thursday of this week, according to our statistics, which are accurate, it'll be our 2,500th episode of this particular program. I've been doing radio for 30 years. I used to do a three-hour morning talk show for about 20 of those years. And we did about 5,000 of those episodes. And once the podcasting world opened up and we became syndicated to other radio stations as well, we started a new generation of this program. And we're on Thursday, we're going to hit 2,500 of those episodes, bringing my total in my broadcasting lifetime to 7,500 programs. Oh, I'm tired. I should take a nap. Anyway, that's happening Thursday, so we'll celebrate that somewhat, and I hope you do that with us. But for now, make yourself a wonderful day. It's up to you. If, you know, bad stuff could happen, little challenges could happen, you could get a bill in the mail for something you don't want to pay, whatever the case may be. But you overcome those and you make it a good day. That's how you do this thing. That's how you do it. Till tomorrow, I wish you peace.